Thanks, praise team. Down just a little bit, Dave. Good morning, wonderful saints and family and friends and everybody in between as we continue with our series on salvation. I got to share a story with you, though, first before I get started. I cannot ignore this this morning, and it's really unexpected for me, but just in kind of going back through my notes yesterday, because we were talking about salvation, and salvation is the key to Christmas spirit, and everything in between. And so in contemplating salvation and just what it means, especially for us, that salvation is here. Last week we talked about salvation is coming for the Old Testament saints. But for me, I was kind of contemplating my own salvation, my own thankfulness in that. And one of the stories I don't think I've shared with you, but I thought about a lot, even so much as I even wrote it down yesterday, just thinking about it. And it was way back almost 20 years ago now as I think about it, and believe me, this isn't rehearsed. I worked for a man at a business that he ran, that he was a manager of, and I was pretty much a pagan then, and so was he. Both of us were pagans together. We hung out a lot, did a lot of things together. But there was an opportunity for me to go to Mexico with a youth group. And, of course, that's the last thing I wanted to do. I didn't want to hang out with God or his people or Christ whatsoever. And so my perfect excuse was I had no more vacation time because I sapped up every bit of that I could possibly have. And so my boss thought it was important that I would go. And I didn't want to, of course. And so I presented him with the dilemma that, hey, I have no more vacation time. Boy, what are we to do, right? And so what he did is he kind of broke all the rules. I don't know how much he remembers of this, but he kind of broke all the rules, and he granted me 5 more days of vacation time for free. And I was sharing with him this morning that that was pretty significant because apparently I was so bad that even the pagans wanted me to go and be saved. Because that was the week that Christ did, in fact, come to me and salvation came. And so I haven't talked to this guy in probably 3 years or so. I haven't seen him in probably 3 years or so. And this morning when I walked into the back of the sanctuary, he's sitting right in the third row. Okay? And so it's just these things like this that come, and I think to myself, wow, you know, how gracious is God in the way that he orchestrates things. And, of course, now Ray and his wife are both in salvation themselves. And so just a tremendous work that God does. And so as we go through this morning, if I can even remember what we were going to talk about now, I just want you to keep that in mind, that these things are just precious to us, precious to us. We're going to go out of Luke this morning in verses 10 and 11. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, just two verses. But I want to make this point that salvation is here. I want to drive home that it's not the birth of Jesus that we celebrate so much as that we celebrate that salvation is here. Salvation is here now. Living now, saving now, loving now, protecting now. And so if you go to Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, just two verses, very important, as the angels proclaim to the shepherds in the field. Follow along with me. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and just tremendous, tremendous opportunity this morning to worship you and to see the glory in this, and to see the hope in this, and to see the true blessedness of this time of year. Always thankful that the Savior was born, but always thankful that the Savior is here. And so as we look at these verses this morning, we pray for the Spirit's work in this. That's so tremendous. We don't want this to be the words of men. We want this to be your words of hope and joy. We want this to be your proclamation, your announcement to the world, that Christ is both Lord and Savior. And so as we go through this morning, let this edify our hearts and our minds. Let us seal our spirit this morning, Father God, as we remember really and truly the reason for this season. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all of your blessings, for all of your hope, and for all of your salvation. Pray this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. So we've been talking about Advent the last couple of weeks because we've been lighting these candles, and frankly, a couple of years ago, nobody knew why we were lighting the candles. And I thought, well, let's talk about Advent because it's such an important part of this season, primarily because this Advent that we have, and what we say when we mean Advent simply means that Christ is coming or the coming. And so even though it's a tradition of men, even though it's a tradition of the church, it's related and rooted in biblical truth, and it's about Christ coming. We talked about this last week, that there is two Advents, really, when we talk about Advent. There is the first coming in which Christ came as a baby, right, when he was the Savior of all men, and the second Advent is when he comes again to be the judge of all men. And so when we talk about these Advents, that's what we mean, and that's what we've been going through the last week and then the next 2 weeks. Last week we talked about the hope of salvation for the Old Testament saints. This week we're going to talk about Christ is here, or salvation is here, because that's the most important subject. Next week we're going to talk about salvation is coming again. And so the true meaning of the birth of Christ is really salvation. This was so important to the Old Testament saints, to the prophets. And so we talk about this coming of Christ. And we saw that last week in Peter's exhortation in 1 Peter 1, in which he said that these Old Testament prophets, they prophesied about this because salvation is what they were consumed with. And so Peter was preaching to or exhorting those that were scattered. Much tribulation, much persecution. And so he wanted them to put all of their hope and all of their worth in the salvation of Christ that they had. Don't focus on your circumstances, but focus on the salvation that you already have. Peter put in 1:9, I don't have it on the board for you, just by way of a reminder from last week. Peter says that they need to fix their hope completely on the revelation of Christ, who is the salvation of their souls. So this salvation of our souls is really what we are thankful for this time of year. Really what we're thankful for this time of year. And so these first century saints who were being persecuted and being scattered about, Peter says, look, this is what you're to focus on, is the revelation of Christ, who is the salvation of your souls, the salvation of your souls. And so those Old Testament prophets, right, they made careful searches and inquiries. They wanted to know everything there was to know about salvation. They prophesied about it, and it was revealed to them from the Holy Spirit, and they wrote these things down for us, he said, because there was the hope to come. They did not realize it, right? They knew that the salvation was coming. They knew that salvation was by grace alone. Remember, we saw that last week. And they knew that salvation would come through suffering. Okay, those three things they knew. And so they also knew, the Holy Spirit also revealed to them in time before Jesus came, that the Savior would be a human and not an angel. We saw that in Genesis 3:15 last week. That he would be a Jew and not a Gentile, right? That he would be from the tribe of Judah. That he would be from the family of David. We saw that, or we read that this morning. And that he would be born of a virgin in Bethlehem in the city of David. And so they knew these things. The only thing they didn't know was who. They didn't know who exactly, and they didn't know what time this would occur. Okay? And so every generation, as we saw last week from Adam and Eve, right? Every generation after Adam and Eve, after the fall, after the curse, every generation hoped that the falling generation would produce the Savior. And we saw that last week, that every generation thought that the next generation would be the hope, but it all ended in disappointment as each one of those fell into sin, and it was apparent that they were not the salvation of the world. And so they put their whole life, right? And so this disappointment, right, for them was that it did not bring good news, as our passage says today, and great joy. There was never good news and great joy for them. The Old Testament prophets and the saints, they wrote about it, right? They hoped for it, but they never realized it. I put a couple verses up here to emphasize that. In Hebrews 11, it says, all these saints died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, it says. And then again in Hebrews 11:39, and all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. And so that's the focus of our series, because that was their focus. Their focus was solely on salvation. That's all they wanted. They knew that they needed to be redeemed. They knew that they needed salvation. And so our focus for the next 3 weeks, like I said, is on salvation. The salvation that was to come last week, the salvation that is here this week, and the salvation that is coming next week. And so when we talk about salvation in the present tense, we need to think about something on this, okay? We need to think about what salvation is. There's really three aspects of salvation when we talk about it. There's salvation in the past for those that believe. That's the point in time when Christ called you, saved you, sanctified you, okay? And that's forever. That never goes away. Okay? And then there's the salvation in the present, in which we are continuously being saved. Okay? And this is really the glory of Christ, the glory of Christmas. This is really why we remember these things, because we are continually being saved. And not just us, but the whole world. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And then there's the salvation to come. There's yet future a salvation in which Christ will return, and He will redeem us from this fallen and corrupt world, and bring those who believe into glory. In other words, He restored us in the past to a right relationship with the Father. He continues to restore you now by conforming you to His image. That's a sanctification. And He will yet restore you when He comes to bring you to glory with Him. Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians. Let me read this to you. He says, "Indeed, we have the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but God who raises the dead, whom delivered us from so great a peril of death." See that? That's in the past. "And will deliver us." That's what He does right now in the present. "He on whom we have set our hope, and He will yet deliver us." See it? Saved in the past, saved now, saved in the future. And so this is why we look at this time of season as so precious to us. This is the whole point of today, is that the celebration of Jesus' birth really comes down to that salvation came in the form of an infant child, but more even, that salvation lives today as Christ, right? Because it's not the baby in the manger. It's not the baby in the manger that brings salvation. It's the God-man who died on the cross that brings salvation. Okay? It's the cross, right, that is an offense to the world. Not the baby in the manger. The world loves the baby in the manger. It's only when we talk about Jesus, the God-man who died on the cross, in which the world takes offense. Paul says, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul doesn't say, "Look, I determined only to know the birth of Christ." No. He said, "I determined to know Him and Him crucified." Very important statement for us. And I'm not saying that the birth isn't important. The birth is tremendously important. Tremendously important. But the birth of Christ is about salvation. The Matthew 1:21, "She will bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their" what? Sins. Okay? This time of season is about salvation, and salvation came at the cross. Nobody will in the world will ever haggle with you over the birth of Jesus in the manger. Okay? They'll never haggle. That's precious and beautiful. As long as He's an infant, as long as He's helpless, everybody will love that. But when we talk about Christ, who is Savior and Lord, that's when we begin to haggle. That's when we begin to haggle. And so there's a really good reason for that, because the rebuke comes at the cross, right? The rebuke comes at the cross. Just like Bill was talking about this morning, the lost, the world does not consider themselves lost. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are," see it, "being saved, it is the power of God." It is the power of God. And so why do I emphasize this? Why do I make this such an important point? Well, it's simple. It's simple. If all you talk about is the birth of Christ, if all you talk about is the baby in the manger, and you do not draw a line from the manger to the cross, then you're really not proclaiming the good news and great joy. Okay? You're really not proclaiming the good news and great joy. In fact, in our passage, it says that the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring good news." He's really saying, I am proclaiming the good news. I am proclaiming the gospel to you. And so that's why we have to draw that line. If you don't draw that straight line, right, then it's not good news. Salvation is here is the good news. Salvation has come by way of the cross is the good news. Look at verse 10 and 11 with me again. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news and great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ," and you could even say, "who is the Lord." See, see the straight line? Luke says, look, we start out with the baby is born, but I'm going to take you straight to that He is the Christ, the anointed one, and He is the Savior. Well, how is He the Savior? Well, He went and died for your sins. He went and died for your sins. That's how we draw the line. And so this whole focus, right, is in the present tense. He is the Savior. He is the Christ. It's not an event that happened 2,000 years ago. It's an event that's happening right now. And this is tremendously significant for us. The definition of salvation, I just wrote this down. Salvation is the whole process by which God restores His people and the creation to the kingdom. This means the regeneration of all things, not just man, but also the creation itself, the earth. We talked about that last week. Luke says, "There has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And so salvation isn't a concept. It's a person. Salvation is a person. It's not necessarily just the process that the person did. It's the person himself. If you are saved, He saved you in the past. If you are saved, He's saving you now. If you are saved, He will save you again. Now, I want to make something clear here because I don't want emails tomorrow. When I say that He is saving you now and He will yet save you, I'm not saying that you aren't saved at the very beginning. That process is done. Okay? If you're saved, that's forever. But the point is He continues to save you. He continues to preserve you. He continues to sanctify you now. That's tremendous. Because if you know your own heart, if you know your own life, you know that there's no way you can walk in the manner that He's called you to walk. It's impossible. And so unless He is constantly drawing us, constantly abiding in us, constantly leading us, we cannot go in that direction. There's not a day that I don't wake up and I go, "Oh, thank you again for the saving." In fact, one of my most prominent prayers is, "Man, I can't believe the things you kept me from today." That's the point of Christmas. I can't believe the things you kept me from today. Christ completed everything at the cross, but He continues it even now. Even now. And that's a big deal for us. And when I say that He'll save us yet future, that's really just the final redemption of our bodies, the final redemption of our souls. The Old Testament saints and prophets, right, they knew that they were in need of salvation. They knew that somebody had to come and redeem them. There was no way they could do it on their own. And so that was where all their hope was in that salvation, right? For them, the good news and the great joy was that the Messiah or the promised one was actually born. That's what they were anticipating. But for us, we're on the other side of the cross now, right? For us, the good news and great joy is that salvation has been accomplished. It's been done already. And that He continues it even now, right? He continues it even now. We celebrate the whole process that we were called, that we were regenerated, that we were justified, that we were sanctified, and that we'll eventually be glorified. That's what we celebrate. That's what we're waiting on, right? It's the whole process of grace and mercy. The whole process of grace. There's not one of us that walks every day, if you truly believe Christ, there's not one of us that walks every day and gets to the end of the day and says, "Wow, I did really good today." Not one of us. We get to the end of the day and we say, "Boy, I can't believe you're still saving me. I'm not worth it, but you are. I can't believe it." Notice what verse 11 says. I want you to see this. "There has been born for you a Savior who is the Christ." That means every day He is the Christ for you. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is your Christ. Jesus is your Lord. Okay? He's your Lord. the absolute glory and majesty of Jesus Christ is not just that He saved us, but it's He's even saving us now, right? Salvation is here now, not just 2,000 years ago. Look at verse 10. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people.'" Luke says that it's good news and great joy for all the people. Now, we've got to deal with that, don't we? Because in what sense is it good news for those that don't believe? What sense is it good news for those that reject Him? What sense is it good news for those that put signs up in the middle of a city that have some kind of anti-Christ statement on it? What good news is for them, right? That's what we have to look at. Because if you look at Romans 3:11, it says that no one is righteous, not even one. In other words, no one can hold up to the standards of God. Everyone sins, even from birth, right? We know that from Scripture. If you look at Romans 6:23, it says that the wages of sin, whom everybody is in, is death. That is because God is a righteous and holy judge. He cannot just overlook sin. He has to punish it. Right? Even in our own court system, as imperfect as it is, if a judge let somebody go for a really heinous crime, we would call him unjust. But God says, no, I must punish sin, right? I must punish sin. So by rights, everyone who was ever born, David says, right, we are born sinful. Everyone who was ever born should be killed immediately upon their first sin. Make sense? Because that's what God says to do. But how many in the world who do not believe, trust, obey Christ are still living even though they live in sin? Do you see the grace and mercy for all people? Because God continues to allow them to live. He continues to allow us to live. That's tremendous to me. So in essence, right, in a sense, Jesus Christ, Scripture says, is already saving the world now. Okay? Not for redemption, but saving them from the punishment of sin. Now, why would God do that? Why is that good news and great joy for the world? Well, it's simply this. Because Christ is waiting. By grace and mercy, He is waiting for an unredeemed world to come to repentance. He is waiting for an unredeemed world to see Him, come to Him, know Him. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow about His promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing, right, for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." And so, even though it's good news and great joy for us who are saved, right, even though it's good news and great joy for us that we are saved, that He continues to have grace and mercy on us. But it's also good news for all the people, good news and great joy for everyone, because God is allowing in this present time for people to come to repentance. That wasn't available. See, this is why we talk about salvation. That wasn't available in the Old Testament. Remember, none of those Old Testament saints got to see the promise. They all wished and hoped and prayed, prophesied, wrote it down, but none of them ever got to see the promise. And so we live in an era, we are the fulfillment of those prophecies. We live in an era when we have time to come to Him, when He is patient, when He is waiting for us to come to Him. Because the yet future, which we'll talk about next week, that time's over, isn't it? Because when He returns, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. There will be no time for salvation because He's coming as the judge. What He said He had to do in the Old Testament, which was punish sin, He's going to do in yet future when He returns. But for this time for us, great news and good joy, right? Is that He is patient and waiting now. That's the spirit of Christus. That's the evangelism 101, right? So when we draw that straight line from the manger, we have to draw it straight to the cross, and we have to make that point to these people that don't know Him. Look, He is already desperately wanting you to come to Him now. He is saving you now, and all you have to do is come to Him. Whoever confesses the name of the Lord will be saved. And so that's the hope and joy in this Christmas, right? This is the message that we need to proclaim. That's what the angel's saying. This is the good news. This is the gospel. Not that we have a baby in a manger and he's all nice and cuddly with lambs and goats and cows. It's that he went to the cross for our judgment. And now he's waiting for us to come to him before he executes that judgment. That's the good news and great joy, right? That Jesus is the Savior, that He is the Christ, that He is the Lord now. That's the great news. That's the great joy. That's the time this season is here. So salvation has come in the past, 2,000 years ago. Salvation is here right now, waiting for repentance, keeping those who belong to Him, and then salvation is coming again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words this morning. Tremendous truth, tremendous truth. Just in remembrance, Father, thinking about the past, I remember thinking how tremendous it was that you would wait for someone like me. That you would be patient 2,000 years for someone like me to see you. Something I didn't want, something I didn't ask for, something I wasn't seeking, and yet you came after me anyway. That's tremendous. Who are we that the Creator of the universe would be mindful of us? Wow. So my prayer for today is, Father God, as we go through this season, that we remember that salvation in the past, but we also remember the salvation that is now. That every day, even though our inner man is decaying, we are being renewed day by day. How tremendous that is. We thank you for your words this morning as they build and they edify the family, the saints. We thank you for your words this morning as they penetrate the hearts of those that do not believe. Such a simple message, the whole gospel wrapped up in two verses, Father God. For all the pages of the Word of Scripture, it comes down to this. For today we proclaim the good news and the great joy. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all of your words, for all of your tremendous salvation. We pray this in your lovely and precious name. Amen.